Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Imagine it's 1754. The British have developed 13 colonies along the eastern seaboard of the American continent. Meanwhile, the French have quietly colonized the strip down the center, a line of settlements along the Mississippi River. This threw the American colonies in the middle of a global power struggle between England and France that would eventually lead to revolution. From Wondery, the podcast American History Tellers takes a dive into the Revolutionary War period from the perspective of a slave, a woman, a Native American, a common shoemaker, and a British aristocrat. Each will give a new angle on the period of America's founding, what it meant then and what it means now. The first episode goes behind the life of one of the most famous of American icons, George Washington. But it wasn't always thus. Here's a preview of the first episode of the Revolution series of American History Tellers. And whilst you're listening, go subscribe to American History Tellers on Apple Podcasts to hear the rest of the episode and more.
Imagine it's May of 1754. It's the middle of the night. You're walking along a wooded hillside somewhere in western Pennsylvania. It's pitch black, but you can hear the group of men you've been marching with for the last few days. It's so dark that some of them have walked into trees. Up ahead, you can just make out your group's leader, a tall, young man. You've been ordered to keep as quiet as possible, so you whisper to the man on your right. Do you think he knows what he's doing? I don't know. He seems so young. Awfully young to be leading an expedition. I hear he's hankering after a commission in the Royal Army. Well, he's smart, I'll say that. A little too full of beans, if you ask me. What brings you here? They promised me a parcel of land if I joined up. You end the conversation there, hoping you didn't make too much noise. You're a blacksmith, from Fredericksburg. But the thought of having somewhere for you and your family to build a new home, maybe start a farm, was enough to get you to put down your tools and pick up your old hunting musket. Exactly what you and more than 100 other men from the local militia are going to do hasn't really been clearly explained to you, except that you're going to deliver a warning to the French. Alongside the militia, you march with a dozen Mingos, Iroquois Indians who have migrated from their traditional territory in New York through Ohio country to the west. They are dressed only in leather leggings and breechcloths and have streaked their bodies and faces with stripes of paint. Their leader is a man named Tanik Harrison. Your British commanders call him the Half-King. But after hours of marching in the dark, you realize the Iroquois are gone. The sky is just starting to lighten, and you finally come to the top of a ridge.
Get into firing positions!
Down in the gorge below, you can see about 36 French and Canadian soldiers sleeping. Suddenly, a movement on the other side of the valley catches your eye. It's the Mingos. You have the French surrounded. A shot rings out, and someone hollers,
"Fire!"
You aim your musket. Your first shot misses. It takes a full minute for you to reload. You fire again and shoot one of the French soldiers right in the chest, a man you've never met. You watch as he falls to the ground. It only takes a few minutes, then it's all over. You scramble down the steep bank into the ravine, your heart pounding. At least 10 of the French soldiers are dead. Your tall young leader is excited, acting like he has won some great victory. But you feel sick. It seems to you more like a massacre. You see the Half-King walk up to one of the wounded Frenchmen, their leader, a man named Jumville. The Half-King barks at him in French.
Tu n'es pas encore mort, mon Pierre.
You aren't dead yet, father. Then he raises his tomahawk and brings it down on the man's head, splitting it open. He plunges his hands into the man's brains and scrubs his hands with them. You go white with shock. So does the young man leading your expedition. This was not part of his orders. You can't know it now, but the 15 minutes of violence you just participated in will have major unintended consequences for you, for the world, and for the young man leading your militia. His name is George Washington. From Wondery, I'm Lindsey Graham, and this is American History Tellers. Our history, your story. On our show, we'll take you to the events, the times, and the people that shaped America and Americans, our values, our struggles, and our dreams. We'll put you in the shoes of everyday citizens as history was being made, and we'll show you how these events affected them, their families, and affects you today. By 1754, the British had developed 13 colonies along the eastern seaboard of the American continent. Meanwhile, the French had quietly colonized a strip down the center, with a line of settlements along the Mississippi River, from Les Détroits, or Detroit, all the way down to Baton Rouge and the Gulf of Mexico. Things were relatively calm as long as the two European empires kept to their respective regions. But in the mid-1750s, the French pushed eastward into a place called the Forks of the Ohio, which was clearly within the English colony of Pennsylvania. The British leaders in London were outraged when they learned of this. Robert Dinwiddie, the Scottish-born lieutenant governor of Virginia, took the lead in dealing with the threat. That was when Washington, a tall young man from Virginia with a gleam in his eye like he had something to prove, volunteered to lead an expedition. Exactly what happened in that Pennsylvania gorge is subject to some debate. Some accounts say that it was George Washington's men who opened fire, others that the French started the fight. What is certain is that what should have been a peaceful mission left nearly a dozen men dead, but its consequences went far beyond that. Washington's blunder set the stage for a much larger conflict, and ultimately, a revolution. Over the next six episodes, we'll dive into the Revolutionary War period from the perspectives of a slave, a woman, a Native American, a common shoemaker, and a British aristocrat. Each will give a new angle on the period of America's founding, what it meant then, and what it means now. This series was written by best-selling author Russell Shorto and follows the six lives he focused on in his award-winning book, Revolution Song. In this episode, we'll start with a familiar life. George Washington was surely the most famous American of the era, maybe of any era, but he wasn't always an icon. If you strip away the glorifying imagery and the myth-making, we find he was a man, bristling with ambition, but beset with doubts, and capable of making colossal blunders. This is Episode 1, The Virginia Planter. There's a famous painting of the American Revolution that shows George Washington standing majestically at the front of a boat as others paddle it furiously through ice-choked waters. It's called Washington Crossing the Delaware, and it depicts one of the most iconic moments of the Revolutionary War. But, as often seems to be the case with iconic images, there are some problems with the painting. First, one of the soldiers is holding up an American flag, and that couldn't have happened because the flag didn't yet exist. Also, the light is wrong. If it were to be historically accurate, the painting would probably have to be so dark you couldn't make out the figures. Another inaccuracy is, in the painting, the boat is filled with not just soldiers, as would have been the case, but with an unusually diverse group of people. There's at least one woman, and there are people who seem to represent a variety of ethnic backgrounds, including a man of African origin. While this diversity may not fit with the reality of Washington's crossing, it does make an accurate, important, and often overlooked point about the period of the Revolution. Traditional accounts of the war tend to focus on the men in the powdered wigs who wielded officers' swords and quill pens, the white, relatively privileged men who wrote our founding documents. But America in the 1750s was more than that. In fact, America was quite a diverse place from the very beginning, rich and poor, slave and free. People spoke different languages and practiced a variety of faiths. That diversity mattered, and it gets to how we think about America today and its founding. We all know the Revolution was about freedom, but whose freedom? And where did that idea even come from? This was just a preview of the first episode of the 6-part Revolution series on American History Tellers. Subscribe now to American History Tellers on Apple Podcasts to hear the rest of this episode and more.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.